So Jesus is the example of perfect love for each of us. We are blessed to have him as a very perfect example. It's good to have him with us, to walk with us through our lives, and to be our guiding light. At the heart of Jesus' teaching is love. So I spent some time thinking about moments of love. I'm blessed. I have quite a few moments of love. Moments of hardship as well, moments of love. Just when you sit and you think, oh my gosh, like the love that you felt at that instant. Some of us, like the birth of a child. Some of us, getting that new job, that sense of security that you gain by that. But what kept coming back to my mind was when my son Matthew was in India. And I think I shared with you that I spent a lot of time on my knees praying for Matthew. He was there for a semester. And we were at the airport. And it's just, you look around and you see love. Like, you know, is my friend going to be here? Are they coming out? Here's me. Like, is that Matthew? Look, is that Matthew? The door's opening. Is that Matthew? And I was there with Bradley and my mom and dad. And I just was so, like, overwhelmed with this sense of love for this kid who left me for a semester. And so you had to stand behind the lines, right, for security reasons. And when he bopped through the door, I don't know what came over me, but I ran out of the line and I just ran and hugged this child of mine. It just was this love that took over my whole body. I was very fortunate that the police didn't come out to get me. but it was a moment of love in my life that I'll never forget and I'll always cherish. The joy of reuniting, the joy of showing love is such a wonderful moment at any time in our lives. There's absolute delight in the experience of reuniting with loved ones. And Jesus teaches us that there is joy in reconciliation. Love is not just a feeling. Part of God's agenda, Jesus' plan for love, is shared in Luke 6, beginning at verse 27. Verse 27, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." Jesus was sharing with his followers how to fit into the kingdom of God. Jesus' disciples, all common men, we had been talking about them, they hungered for the blessing of heaven. Well, they make it sound kind of simple, right? Love your enemies. But, oh, man, sometimes that's really difficult. That expression of love, that experience of love, when I think of someone who's hurt me, it takes time to get there when I can say that I love them. We know that Christians may be cast aside in their lives or mistreated just because you're a believer. We will have characteristics in our lives and in ourselves that will separate us from others in this world. Think about the teenagers that turn down going to parties or driving in the race cars or doing things that are socially accepted now. It's hard. And they're looked down upon. Not everyone will befriend Christians, and some may choose to attack Christians. And yet Jesus asks us to do good, to bless and to pray for those who hurt us. Jesus rejoices in the reconciliations of relationships, which will always begin with someone sharing love. Reading on in Luke, verses 28 to 30, "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back." It is so natural to feel violated when someone takes something that belongs to you that you have worked hard for. And it's sometimes we feel violated when we don't receive what we think we should be receiving, what we deserve. Take a moment and think of those who always have responded in love. Loving others takes strength, those people who respond in love stick out. They come to my mind quickly. They don't show anger very quickly. And they may have the attitude that the other person maybe needed that more than I did. They are the people that a kind of calmness surrounds them. When we respond in love, we are going to be protected, and the enemy is going to be put down. I went through an experience, a personal experience in my life, and people were knowing what was going on in my life, and it wasn't a happy experience for me. And somehow I had to work through this experience and allow people to know that I would be fine because I had God in my life. It was the steps that I needed to take to get through a divorce. The steps that I needed to take to feel okay with me, to know that people knew and were sharing different experiences about me. I needed to shine and be okay in my walk with Jesus. We should not speak ill of others. Sometimes that's really hard when you've been hurt to the core. Only speak well and what is best for others, even though they've hurt you. And that becomes pretty hard at times. But the more that it is practiced, the more it becomes a way of life. We are to strive for righteousness. The love for our friends and family will certainly be different than the love for those who are spiteful toward us, for sure. Our words and actions should always come from a place of love. Theologian Barclay writes, "We cannot love our enemies as we love our nearest and dearest. To do so would be unnatural, impossible, and even wrong. But we can see to it that no matter what a man does to us, even if he insults us, ill-treats, and injures us, we will seek nothing but his highest good." So lighten your attitude. Lighten up. Remember people used to say that years ago? Lighten up. As we know, our reward will be great in heaven. People will find fault in us, and people will be mean, but we must live as Jesus has taught us to live. Remember, two wrongs don't make a right. That was frequently used in my kindergarten class. Well, he hit me, so I hit him, or he ate my food, so I took his food. Two wrongs do not make a right. Culturally, historically, a slap on one's cheek would have been understood as a rude insult. Well, today we would consider it a physical attack. And Jesus himself was insulted continuously, but he chose to live out his principles shared, and he would turn to people, he would turn to him the other so generously. He would not attack back. When people mistreated him, Jesus was able to command or sway the situation by giving and showing love. Knowing that God loves us so much, he does provide for our every need. And we should take the time to provide for others who are in need. And don't expect anything in return. Becoming renewed in your attitudes. Well, let's think about Joseph. And his brothers were jealous. When Joseph walked out to the fields to check on his brothers beat him up, spit on him, threw him into a pit. He was then sold as a slave, but Joseph never held a grudge. I'd like to read from Genesis 45, starting at verse 3. About Joseph. 45 verse 3. Joseph said to his brothers, this is when they were finally reunited, after 20 years, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. They were thinking Joseph's going to get his revenge now. Verse 4, then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they were done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Joseph, through all of that agony, through all of that hurt, through all of that pain, knew that God was in control. For 2 years now, there have been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will also be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of the entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and your grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have, I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. If you can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you, tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly. And then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. Love. He loved them. They were frightened because they were so mean to him. And he loved them with God's strength and with the knowledge that God was working in his life. He loved them. Many times we hold grudges. You know what? The other person that we have the grudge against probably hasn't even given us a thought. A renewed attitude will lead to a more pleasant, positive, relaxed, and forgiving mindset. You will not feel the need to hold on to grudges when you are able to love. Joseph knew his visions from the Lord saved many lives, and he helped to plan to store food to save many more lives, and he would share that food. Allow your attitudes to show mercy to others the way that God has shown mercy to each of us. To forgive certainly is not easy. It usually takes the offended person to initiate the reconciliation, right? The believer is usually the one that steps forward first. The sooner that one initiates the reconciliation, the less of a chance that bitterness grows deeper and deeper into your heart. Keep Christ at the center of your life. Pastor Jerry Williams writes in his article, Hate is Easy and Love is Hard, in the Anabaptist world, wrote, not only is it hard to love, it is easy to hate. Why does it have to be that way? It is easy for us to hate those who think differently from us and who seemingly compete against us. Living in the midst of competing sides, wrestling for power and control, we must remember that love is the reason for our actions. You see, God created this human race, all of us, out of love. God's response to us in love was sending his son to this world for each of us. Pastor Williams continues to write in his article that love needs to be the beginning. It needs to be the starting point of every action. Love will guide us to freedom. Love will be the liberator of the oppressed. In 1 John 4:16 reads, "So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them." Allow God's love to guide you in daily conversations. As I was reading this article I shared with Josh and Linda and May earlier this week, as I was reading this article, I would put a different topic in my brain and then read about how we need to start with love. So I would think about politics and then read, love needs to be the beginning. It is the starting point. Or I would think about COVID and face masks and think, start with love. Or I would think about LGBTQ issues and think, start with love. Issues of illness, issues of upsetness, issues that have angered me. And then I would read through Pastor Williams' article, love needs to be the beginning. What comes out of me, what my thoughts were changing because I started with love. Allow God's love to guide you. Luke 6, verses 31 to 37, begins with the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend them without expecting to get anything back. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Jesus condemns hypocritical judging of others. Are we that perfect that we can judge someone else? To not judge others, to truly love others, does not mean that the Christian is accepting of that lifestyle or teaching that someone may be following. Can I reread that? To not judge others, to truly love others, does not mean that we as Christians are accepting of their lifestyle or their teachings that they are following. But we are the example of Jesus Christ. They will see Jesus in us as we love them. Allow your attitude to show mercy to others the way God has shown mercy to each of us. Again, to forgive is never easy. The sooner one initiates that reconciliation, the less of a chance that bitterness has of taking over your life. Having Christian character, which is different from the rest of the world, means keeping Christ in your heart and in your mind. God's commands are broken when we think the worst of others. Just that little, I don't know, can I say it? He's an idiot. Why does she say things like that? He always hurts my feelings. Those little things will resonate if we let them pop in. When we judge others, sometimes it's by the worst things that have happened to them, and we haven't considered ourselves in those same circumstances. Judging others happens when we don't forgive freely. You do not realize the negative judgments that we keep in our minds. You do realize the negative judgments that we keep in our minds, the ones that are stored there and we keep them. Most of the time, they're not even right. Isn't that crazy? And yet we resonate on it because we're hurt. We need to recognize that more will be expected from Christians than from others, and we can rise to the occasions where love is needed. We have been redeemed and renewed with the Spirit of God living within us. We are a very spiritual group of people. Your sharing, your singing is so inspirational and such a blessing to each of us. We have been renewed by the Spirit of God. And so we are encouraged to allow the tenderness of God's grace to take over our lives. Take that deep breath. The tenderness of God's grace is ours. Walk in the light of Jesus by sharing your blessings, sharing your love, sharing your forgiveness. We certainly cannot go wrong by sharing our blessings, our love, and our forgiveness. When we will become more relaxed, more positive, more pleasant, the kind of person that others want to be with because we have the light of Jesus in our lives. God will continue to guide us. Allow him to guide you. Simply remember, love needs to be the foundation of our words and our actions. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the plan for our lives. We thank you for forgiving us our sins and for the healing that you bring into our lives. You love us through all of our failures. Let us recognize our many blessings. Allow us to follow the golden rule and to be friendly and encouraging and to be forgiving. Allow us to be empowered by your word, Lord. We simply need to move forward in love and have love in our minds and love in our hearts before we speak or act. And we ask that you allow us to honor you every day. In your precious name, amen.